Welcome to another Carlin Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, what do you think of the Wimbledon final for the men and the one-day cricket final, both played on the same day in London? What? You know, both of them were incredible finals, and both of them were basically at the same time and, what, 8 miles apart?
Well, as we said before, you're over there in sunny England not that long ago,
yeah.
And it was certainly a smorgasbord of sport on while you were there, including the baseball, which you love.
Yep.
But I guess this is when we see games that are played, like in the tennis, between two real champions who are, you know, have been champions for a very long time, and that game obviously went right down to the wire, so it could have been for anyone. And the cricket.
Wow.
Well, they had a draw.
And then they had another draw.
And then they pull out a rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah.
And give England the victory.
I kind of figure, why don't they just play another super over?
Yes, there was a lot of controversy, wasn't there? And, of course, even with now with all the video we have, people would go back and look and decide that, in fact, maybe they thought England got one run too many. And so New Zealand. So all these things happen, but it's like a bit like the soccer, isn't it? When you get to that penalty shootout, you know there's got to be a winner, but there's still a sour taste in your mouth from a spectator point of view. I guess if you're English and you're barracking for the English team, then you're going to be excited. But on the other hand, New Zealanders are going to be devastated.
Well, you know, to put that rule in place where you've got to go back to boundaries. I mean, why didn't they go by wickets? If they went by wickets, New Zealand would win. I mean, and then, you know, you're talking about that controversy where it hit the bat in the last over of the English. And the thing is, if they went to the video, they would have taken one run off England, which would have meant that New Zealand would have won. But I'm amazed that with the technology they have and everything like that, why didn't the umpires ask for a bit of help on that one?
Well, I guess from an umpiring perspective, if you are confident that you know what's happened, then you don't always have to go to the video referee or umpire. And I don't know what the rules are with players asking or captains asking for reviews on that type of. I mean, no, they can obviously on if it's a wicket or not, but can they ask for reviews on that type of. I know they look sometimes to see whether maybe their ball's touched the rope or a player's. Was touching a rope when they had contact with the ball to see whether a four has been hit or not. But maybe at the time they didn't think it was an issue.
Well, obviously there was no awareness on anyone on the field, the batters, the fielding team. Well, the fielding team wouldn't have really said anything, would have they? It's just one of those things where you kind of figure that, you know, in this day and age, and they brought technology into to assist umpires, why something wasn't alerted about the situation because it was such a crucial game.
But are you going to do that? How are you going to stop that? Like at some point, are you going to review every ball? Is there going to be someone sitting there or a bunch of people sitting in front of computer screens watching video over and over again as the game's in play to decide whether something should change? And that takes away, I think, from the game itself, doesn't it? I think, I mean, the technology can be beneficial. And I've never looked at stats to see how often umpires are correct versus maybe if their decisions are overturned. But I think just like a player can get out there and make a mistake, I think we have to accept that umpires, referees are going to make mistakes as well. And don't forget, these umpires are the best umpires available. So they're not people who are just coming in for the last minute.
You know, inside of me, I agree with that. I agree that, you know, you go by the umpire. But I think what frustrates me a lot on this is the fact that they did a count back the way they did, which really wasn't common knowledge. I wasn't aware of it, and a lot of people I know weren't aware of it. So the fact that they brought an obscure rule in to decide a final of the World Cup, I'm thinking to myself, the preference would have been to have the video replay.
Well, with the game, I mean, they're going to certainly probably review that now, aren't they? They're going to look at whether they could do it differently. And you think, well, why not play another over? It seems to me the obvious choice. You've just played a super over. It's still a draw. Go again. Or have some other system where, you know, it's a bit like in soccer now. They've got those extra periods of time. And do you have an extra number of overs for both teams? You might have to pick so many batters and so many bowlers and that's it. and let them loose and see what happens.
Yeah, look, it's a tough call because it was drawn, and because it was drawn again after the super over, it leaves a little bit of a bad taste because we're talking about, you know, the pinnacle of one day cricket. It's actually the top event for that type of the sport. So I'm thinking, yeah, you know, it should have been a better finish. I mean,
and they have a draw.
Yeah.
Want to have a draw? But well, you do that? Would that be an anti-climax? Just say it's a draw, like it's. I mean, it was at the end of the super over, and it's a draw.
Well, someone said to me, "Oh, that's just not cricket." But I'm thinking, well, hang on, Test cricket often have draws, and there's two famous draws, you know, in the history of cricket. You know, so I'm thinking, why not just call it a draw? Neither team had won a title before for World Cup. Let them share it.
Yeah. Well, obviously now England have got it, and New Zealand haven't. So I feel for the New Zealanders because great game of cricket, and to be decided that way is certainly very difficult to take.
Well, what I heard is that people at the tennis and people at the cricket were tweeting each other and texting each other about the scores, and people here in Australia were surfing the channels between the two, and it was just an incredible coincidence, I suppose, to have two major events on at exactly the same time.
Well, it's people love their sport in England, don't they? And we certainly love it here in Australia. It's something we share in common.
Yep.
Even though we couldn't play each other in the final of the cricket.
Ah, well, those things happen, I suppose. But anyway, what about the tennis? Federer and Djokovic, what two outstanding ambassadors for the sport of tennis. I mean, they're just absolute champions. Obviously, Federer is 37 and Djokovic's 32, and they've got, 13 Wimbledon titles between them now.
Well, they certainly have been, for a long, long period of time now, the standout tennis players, haven't they? And and as you said, they're great role models, I think, for all sporting people, but where tennis can sometimes, maybe from our perspective, from Australia at the moment, we see some people that we don't always appreciate their antics and their mannerisms. And Roger Federer, of course, seems to be loved by everybody. And Djokovic, again, has been a wonderful player. I really love his sense of humour. But he probably doesn't have the same level of adoration from the crowd or maybe tennis spectators worldwide that Federer has.
Well, that it stood out in the fifth set when there was a line call that Federer sort of appealed to the umpire and he got it. And then at the end of the point, which Federer won, Djokovic just went to question something with the umpire and people started booing him, which showed the amount of support that Federer had. But I just don't think that was good sportsmanship because he's entitled to appeal. And in the first place, Federer appealed as well.
Yeah, I think the booing is just getting out of hand, isn't it? I mean, I don't want to get into that too much, but it seems to be that everyone now has very strong opinions and they're like things that people probably wouldn't have done in the past or wouldn't have said that's acceptable behaviour by spectators. We're now starting to see that more and more. And I'm like you, I don't like it. I think players certainly have a right to have their appeals. That's part of the rule process. Sometimes how they go about it can be an issue, as we saw back in the US Open with Serena Williams. Was that 2018?
Perhaps so, 17, one of the years.
And so things like that can get out of hand. I think players have to take responsibility for that. But for disputing calls or questioning calls, there's a way that they go about it. And I thought Djokovic did that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the game itself, it lasted a record 4 hours and 57 minutes for a gentleman's final. And, I mean, Djokovic, he had to save two match points in the game, but isn't it amazing? He won the first set 7-6, and then Federer came back with a 1-6 win, and then again Djokovic won 7-6, and then Federer won 4-6, and then that epic fifth set, 13-12. I mean, they just changed the rules this year to make it so they couldn't go.
Whereas they could have kept going.
Yeah, yeah. But
I'm putting you on the spot here, but I remember reading years ago about the longest
63 sets or something. It was absolutely ridiculous. But I think that's the reason they changed the rule. I think this year was actually the first year they incorporated the rule, and they had this epic fifth setter.
And so people have definitely got their money's worth, didn't they?
just for the fifth set, mate. Just that was incredible. I just couldn't believe it.
And these guys have played each other 48 times. Who do you think's won the most games out of that 48 times? Who would you put your money on?
Djokovic, probably 26-22.
Oh, you've done your, checked your stats as well, haven't
you? Well, yeah.
That surprised me. I mean, because Federer, I would have thought it'd been the other way around, but in fact...
Well, it was early in the career. I think it was something like 15-6 or something like that, and then Djokovic got on a bit of a roll. And in actual Wimbledon itself, I know the first time they met was in the semi-final in 2012, and Federer won that. But since then, the 14, 15, and 19 finals, it's been Djokovic.
Yeah, and so he's certainly he's dominating, isn't he? But Federer being 37, wow.
Here's another amazing stat for you. Only one person has beaten Federer in every Grand Slam, not final, but every Grand Slam event, the French, the Australian, the US, and the Wimbledon. And no prize for guessing who that is.
Djokovic.
And Djokovic has only ever been beaten by one player in all four events, and who do you think that is? Federer. So it's an amazing stat. I mean, like we said, you know, 48 times, 26-22 to Djokovic. But you look at some of the other stats. I mean, Federer obviously started a few years earlier because 1998, whereas Djokovic started in 2003 with his pro career. They're both right-handers. They're both similar heights. I think Djokovic's got an inch, 6'2" to 6'1". It's just incredible. And this year alone, Federer's 38 wins and 5 losses, and Djokovic's 35 wins and 6 losses. So they're very similar. And that's basically how their career has gone. And all told, Federer's got 102 titles, and Djokovic's got 75. So they're on a fairly even keel when you consider the start that Federer had. So,
and Federer, of course, has won Wimbledon record 8 times.
Yeah.
And Djokovic now 5. So
5.
Maybe he's got a few years left in him to...
Yeah, yeah. And Federer's got 20 Grand Slam titles, singles, and Djokovic's got 16. So when you allow for the age difference, these two men are obviously the biggest sort of rivalry in tennis, probably since Bjorn and Jimmy Connors from America.
Back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. And John McEnroe, you know, those three guys sort of were in there in the 70s.
Well, with Nadal, I mean, over the, like, men's tennis seems to be that these guys have been at the top for a very long time, whereas we see... The women's game is starting to change, isn't it? I mean, if we look at the women's game, Simona Halep won her first title at Wimbledon, beating Serena Williams, who, again, she's won it 7 times. How many times has Serena Williams played in the final? Because she seems to be there all the... I mean, but again, she's she's had a more difficult time the last couple of years, but she's obviously coming back into form and to be, and again, make the final. This time, obviously, a younger player.
Okay.
Her first one.
It's just incredible. I know when I was in London a couple of weeks ago when Wimbledon started, and the buzz around the place was all about Wimbledon. And so my wife and I were wanting to nip down there one day, but the crowds were just incredible. I mean, you got on the train that way towards Wimbledon, and they're absolutely packed, and you can see the lines everywhere. We gave it a miss. We went to Kew Gardens instead because we thought, well, we don't want to stand around for 4 hours to get in, but maybe we should have.
Well... It's one of those things, isn't it? It's probably on a lot of people's bucket list if you're a sports fan or tennis fan. And what do you think captures the public's imagination more, tennis or cricket? Like, it seems to me that tennis has, like, we look at the Australian Open here, but then we get some big crowds for cricket too, don't we?
I think in Australia, historically, I think cricket sort of pulls crowds in, but I think... In England, I think tennis has it over the cricket to a certain degree. I think the World Cup cricket suffered a little bit in England this year because Sky Channel had the rights. And from last time the World Cup was there, where they had free-to-air TV, they were talking about, you know, 10 million people were watching it, whereas this time they were talking less than 500,000 people because people didn't want to pay for it. And as a consequence, it lost a little bit of the shine because of that.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, with the pay TV system. I mean, I know I love watching the V8 supercars here in Australia, and they've now gone, the last couple of years, they've gone to Foxtel, so you see less and less of it. And then you've got to make that decision, am I going to pay what am I going to see? And so I made that decision not to. And I guess a lot of people will do the same. They want to see things live to air. So we've got to keep supporting live to air TV.
Yeah, no, I agree. Anyway, we've got plenty of fuel for further discussions in later shows. So we're into another Carlin Lay Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.